greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
The Chicago Bulls pick Michael Jordan. Well, 63 points, and you're looking at an all-time record.
Jordan, turn around, shot in the air. Yeah! Charlie Ward waits for a cutter, got free roll underneath the glass, double team, fires at the post, they know the San Antonio Spurs win their first ever NBA championship.
Yes, good morning and welcome to Showtime. Yes, it was the Spurs that took out the championship last year. They won't be doing it this year. They're out of the finals, out of the playoffs, as the Phoenix Suns have knocked them out in the first round of the conference quarterfinals. And a big surprise. Just one of those, I guess there's a few surprises, is the fact that two of the quarterfinals that are still going on are even still existing. First versus eighth in each of the conferences, both well and truly alive. Indiana and Milwaukee doing battle in the Eastern Conference. That matchup, of course, Game 5 is being played today, and so will be decided today. Will Indiana, who do have the home court advantage for the last game, have enough to take it out? Well, Carlos Diaz from NBA.com TV gives his thoughts.
NBA playoffs up with two blowout wins, and they've really outplayed the Pacers throughout. Now, the key for Milwaukee, believe it or not, has been defense. The Bucks were one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA during the regular season, but they put the clamps on in this series. Offensively, they've been getting some great scoring from their usual suspects, meaning Ray Allen and Glenn Robinson, but the bench has also come up big. If Scott Williams and Tim Thomas deliver again this evening, look for the Bucks to stay close down the stretch. But ultimately, I think the Pacers will prevail tonight. They've got a wealth of playoff experience, and that will count for a lot in this one. Reggie Miller has been extremely inconsistent in this series, but he's one of those great clutch players, and he lives for games like this. If Miller and Jalen Rose are hitting from outside, it should open up things for Rick Smith inside, who needs to break out of his slump in this one. I think experience will ultimately win out. Look for Indiana to win a close ball game and move on to meet the Sixers on Saturday.
In the Western Conference, the Lakers and Sacramento are still doing battle. It's gone to Game 5. The Lakers took the first two, and I guess a lot of people started to think it was just going to be a sweep. But Sacramento at home have won Games 3 and 4, and Game 5 will be played Saturday, our time, in Los Angeles, of course. And, of course, the Lakers will be hot favorites to take that out. They will definitely be fired up by the fact that they haven't taken this out already. In the other series is still going on. There's just one other series still to be decided. Utah, the Jazz up against the Seattle Supersonics. And Game 5 will be played on Saturday, our time as well, in a bit of a doubleheader for TV in America. This will be the early game before the Lakers-Sacramento. The Utah Jazz at home to the Seattle Supersonics for Game 5 after the Sonics won the two games at home. So all the games have been at home have been won so far. So Utah and Seattle, that's still to be decided. The other games in the Western Conference have been decided. Portland and Minnesota was taken out by the Blazers 3-1. And as I said earlier, the Phoenix Suns have knocked over the San Antonio Spurs to knock them out of it and ruin their chance of defending their title. In the Eastern Conference, Miami have knocked out Detroit 3-0. New York knocked out Toronto 3-0, and the Philadelphia 76ers have knocked over the Charlotte Hornets 3-1 to take that. So they're all sitting there waiting. But Miami and New York, they know just what's ahead because they've played each other. This is a rivalry that everyone loves. It's Pat Riley of Miami against Jeff Van Gundy, against Riley's ex-team in New York. Everyone loves this matchup. It's come in the second round. The first match will be played Monday our time in Miami. Miami will have the home court advantage, but that hasn't mattered much with these two in the conference semis. That's the one matchup. We do know who's playing who in that one. The other matchups will be known over, well, today and on Saturday. So we're looking forward to catching up with all those results.
Rodney Rogers of the Phoenix Suns has been voted the NBA's Sixth Man Award as the best off the bench. Rogers was the only member of the Suns to play in all 82 games, 75 as the sixth man. He averaged about 28 minutes a game. This was Rodgers' first year with Phoenix after four seasons with the Clippers. He received 104 votes from a panel of 121 sports broadcasters and writers. Second with 7 votes, Cuttino Mobley of the Rockets, tied for third, Cedric Sabalos of the Mavericks, and Tracy McGrady of the Raptors. The New Jersey Nets have fired coach Don Casey. The club finished the season losing its last 11 games and had a record of 31-51. It missed the playoffs for the second season in a row. Casey took over last season, replacing John Calipari. In his 1.5 seasons, the Nets won 44 and lost 68. Injuries severely hurt them this season, especially the loss of star Jason Williams. Casey's firing is expected to be the start of a general house cleaning. General manager John Nash's job is said to be in jeopardy. A rookie has been voted NBA Coach of the Year. Doc Rivers of the Orlando Magic. It's only the 5th time a first-year coach has been voted Coach of the Year. Rivers received 60 votes from a national panel of sports broadcasters and writers. A close second with 53 votes was Phil Jackson of the Lakers. He won the honor when he coached the Bulls. In what was supposed to be a rebuilding year for the Magic, Rivers coached the club to a 41-41 record and to within one victory of making the playoffs.
Coming up after the break, we catch up with Frank Arcego, he's head coach of the Nash 9-19 side that's just been overseas and also out at the AAIS with the men's team there, and they're just back in town, and we'll catch up with Frank right after this break.
For over 100 years, the Selbos have been there for all Australians. Now, they need your help. Please register to become a Red Shield Appeal Collector for a few hours over the weekend of May 27 and 28. Call 13-32-30 to register. That's 13-32-30. And help make a difference. Thank God for the Selbos.
Hi, my name is Paul Showtime Gaffney of the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters, and you're listening to my show, Showtime.
Yes, indeed you are, and Frank Arcego back in town with the AIS boys after that very successful tour of Europe. And I asked Frank just how it went.
It went really well, thanks. Boys conducted themselves and played a really good standard of basketball, and we finished fourth in a 16-nation tournament, so it was a really good effort.
Yeah, you played some pretty big nations over there for that one.
Yes, well, all the teams that competed at the tournament, bar Italy, are all eligible or have qualified for the European Championships, which will be held in July.
And coming fourth in that must be nice heading towards that tournament.
Yes, well, a lot of the teams use the tournament as a build-up for the Europeans, and for us to go in and get to the semi-finals was a really good effort, and the Yugoslavia, we only lost to them by 6 points in the semi-final. They went on to win the tournament, and I think that they'd be considered like one of the top 2 seeds for the European Championship. So on that performance, you know, I'd say that our group, for the short time that we've been together, have done a terrific job for Australian basketball.
Mm. You did lose the third and fourth playoff to the United States as well.
Yes, that was it was a tough game for us, probably for both teams really, not having gotten through to the final. But I thought that the guys did an excellent job. And We actually put ourselves in a good position during the first half, but we sort of like let them off the hook, and I think the sort of team with a sort of team like that, you don't sort of like get too many second chances. So in some ways we could have maybe got over the line, but in the end we sort of like just faded. I mean, in the second half we did actually get into front twice in the second half, so we were right up there with them, but just faded at the end. So still really pleased with the way the boys performed.
Yeah, I suppose missing out on the final and then playing off the third and fourth, it's still something, but it's motivation is sort of a little hard to keep going.
Well, no, I don't believe in that. I felt the guys really put in 100%. They fought it right out to the end. I think that's one of the great characteristics of our Australian junior teams, is that they've always gone in for the fight, whether it's playing off for 11th or 12th or 3rd or 4th or playing off for the gold medal. I think there was a lot of motivation for the guys to come home with something, and they gave it their all, but just wasn't quite there.
How did you go in the games in the lead-up to the semi-finals?
We're in a pretty tough group to start off with. We had Greece, Croatia and Slovenia in that order. And unfortunately, in the opening game of the tournament, we actually lost to Greece by 22 points. And it was very disappointing because we didn't really come to terms with what was required to maybe compete or even be successful at that level. And so for the remainder of that first round and the second round, that margin actually was a problem for us, because at any time that would have come back and knocked us out of the top eight. But to the boys' credit, they learnt very quickly after the first game and then continued to go on and win another four games in a row, beating Croatia and Slovenia, and the results went in our favour and we moved through to the top eight. And then we had a very tough game against Belarus and Germany, and the boys performed really well in those two games and gave us an opportunity to get through to the final four.
It must have been especially nice to beat Croatia, who are a traditional power.
Well, they had a very good team. I think you'll find that out of the tournament, out of the 16 teams or so, in years gone by, you would have maybe had like a Yugoslavia and the Soviet Union. And at this tournament, there was Croatia, Slovenia. All of these teams would have made up and Yugoslavia themselves. And then out of the Eastern blocs, you know, we had Lithuania, Latvia, Belarus, and Russia. Now, in the olden days, all those four teams would have come together to make one team. So it just shows you the strength of European basketball, especially those nations now that have taken on their own independence. And now for our boys to go through those teams, I thought was a terrific effort. And I'd sort of like, it really sort of like hit home to me at the end of the tournament that we talk about Croatia being a power, Yugoslavia, Greece, the USA. And I think it's about time we start to probably give ourselves a little pat on the back and say, well, maybe Australia's one of those teams as well, because we're finding ourselves getting back there at every opportunity.
Yeah, well, it's a great result. I mean, you look at a lot of the teams that finished up below you on the ladder, and some pretty good basketball countries in amongst them.
Oh, definitely. You know, like when you consider that Lithuania and Spain didn't make the top eight, and then you think that France was below us, Russia was below us. You know, I think a pretty good effort, pretty good effort.
Indeed. The boys like to have another shot at Greece, perhaps?
I think we would have liked to have had another go at them. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. I think we could have done a better job maybe the second time round. But I must say that the teams that finished first, second and third, all three were very good teams, and all three had at least one or two what I would consider outstanding prospects for the future. You know, some of the talent that was at the tournament was very good.
Yes, well, and obviously you had some on your team, because one member of your team made the All-Star 5.
Yeah, I must say that we were very excited about Jacob Holmes' performance at the tournament, and to make the All-Star first team is an excellent achievement for his work during the week that he had. And I think there could be some good things coming Jacob's way in the future.
Was there one thing that impressed you most? Was it the big men? Was it the small men that stood up most, or was it all over?
For ourselves, I was really pleased with our big men. I think from where we were when we started here in the ABA and the key to a good performance. So I was really pleased with the bigs.
I suppose rebounding very key with the European style of basketball.
Well, I think you'll find that it plays a big part. I think you'll find that mainly with the European teams, I think the thing that we were really impressed with was the overall skill level of all the players. And generally, most of the players are multi-dimensional. You know, so a lot of the big guys could play outside, and the small guys could take it inside strongly. So that was one of the things that probably stood out the most, I think, out of if you were having a look at those teams. And nothing could be a greater example of it than in the final between Greece and Yugoslavia. The game was decided with a shot 1 second out from the final bell, and it was the 6 foot 11 centre stepped out for a 3-point shot with the scores tied, and he nailed it with a second to go, and they won the final.
Sounds like Luke Schincher.
Yes, well, actually, we sort of like passed that comment when we were over there. Yeah.
Oh, well, the European style has always been traditionally a bit slow down, half court sort of stuff. Is it changing with the young groups that are coming through?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think what you find is that each of the countries still have some form of their own traditional style. So, for example, like the Spanish are still primarily a fast breaking team, like to push the ball up. The Yugoslavians like to move you around without too much dribble. But the Croatians have probably, of all the teams there, I think the Croatians are the ones who have changed their style the most. You're finding them putting it to the floor a lot more. It's a lot more one-out sort of stuff. So they're more heading to the American style of play. And but there are still, you know, teams that have their own traditional styles. And that's what makes it a great experience to go over to that tournament. While we're over there, we played seven different countries and virtually had to contend with seven different styles. And you can't ask for a better learning curve over a week of basketball.
No, and certainly with that age. And I suppose being back here now, we'll see how the learning process has gone.
Well, we've just come off the practice floor, and I think some of the guys made a concerted effort to put some of the things that they learnt while they were away into practice. So that's a good start, and this weekend we've got a pretty heavy schedule. We've got three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we're hoping that having had a bit of success while we're away, we'll build some more success here at the RAS program. So we're all looking forward to seeing how things pan out this weekend.
Yeah, well, of course, the first game is at home and then two on the road. At least you'll be used to the travel.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll definitely be used to the travel, so going down to Melbourne won't be a problem at all.
Yeah, you've got a couple of tough games down there, North East Melbourne and Knox. Yeah. How do you expect to go against them?
Well, to tell you the truth, we don't really know that much about them, really. We sort of like have had other things on the last couple of weeks. But the bottom line is I think we've gotten to a point where, you know, I think we respect everyone that we play. But I'd like to think that maybe this weekend we can devote really more time on our own game, our own mental preparation, and really trying to elevate our game to another level that might take us over the line. Because prior to us going away, I thought the last month here at the Institute, I thought we were playing some good basketball, but just weren't quite getting over the line. So now that we've had some wins, hopefully we know what needs to be done to get those victories.
Yeah, I suppose it makes it a little bit difficult for you to scout the other teams you've got to play.
Well, we normally, my assistant Marty does a terrific job. We try and collate as much information as we can off the net and have a few ring arounds, but we just really haven't had time this week to go down that path. We're just sort of like finding our feet after the trip. I think we'll be right for a couple of good performances this weekend.
Mm. Nunna Wadding, of course, is your first game Friday night, 7:30 at the AAS Training Hall for people who want to get out and watch it.
Yep.
It should be a good one.
I think so. The majority of the teams, that, apart from North East Melbourne, I think both teams of Nunna Wadding and Knox have changed their rosters a little bit from last season. So that might just make it a little interesting for us, but they'll be a tough team. They've always been a good team in the ABA, got a strong tradition, and their coach is a very good coach, Grant Wallace, and I'm sure he'll have them up and going, so it'll be a challenge.
Mm. Of course, for basketball fans here in Canberra who haven't caught the AAS team this year, I suppose there's a few new members on the squad that people might not have seen.
Yeah, well, we had a terrific year last year, and mainly due to the fact that we had quite a large group of seniors in the team. And most of those players left. We were only left with four players remaining from that team. And most of those guys probably got minutes, but not substantial minutes. They sort of like were on a learning curve probably last year. So in some ways, we do really have a pretty new roster. And a lot of the guys are coming along quite nicely. Maybe most of our success may come even a little bit further down the track within this program, but it's been an interesting time. With the season starting earlier, we've sort of like had to hit the court running, but we're making progress, and that's what we're all about here.
I suppose some also good news from your program. One who was on your squad last year, Wade Halliwell, signing up with Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm really pleased for Wade because he was a terrific young man while we had him here, when he had him here for the 1 year. And he did make a decision to go to college and find out what that side of things was like. And we have kept in touch, and he just felt that he probably didn't feel he was being serviced in regards to his development. And so he's made the decision to come back. And, I support whatever the players decide to do. And I think he's gone to a good program where I think he's going to get a lot of development, and I'm pretty sure he'll get some opportunities. So I think that he'll continue to work hard like he did here, and I'm sure some time down the track he'll be making a very good contribution to possibly the Bullets or some other team in the league.
Well, of course, that's what you're all about, isn't it? Developing these guys for the future.
Yes, yeah. That's our sort of like our charter, and sometimes we don't see the final product here at the Institute of Sport. Normally comes to fruition for those guys somewhere down the track. So, we always wish them well. They always know that there'll be people here to support them if they need that. And so we'll just keep persevering. You know, we wish him all the best, and I know that he'll do a great job.
Indeed. Well, we certainly wish you the best. It's going to be a tough weekend, three games.
Yep. Yes, it will be tough. But even if we, if we can get our first one on the board for the season, I think the whole exercise of the last 2 weeks would have been worthwhile. So hopefully we'll get one over the line.
Indeed, we wish you all the best, and thanks for your time, Frank.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes, well, basketball fans, get out. It's going to be some chance for some local basketball in the ABA coming up tonight and Saturday night. Tonight at 7:30 at the AIS Training Hall, the AIS take on the Ngunnawatting side. And then on Saturday night, it's the Gunners that's down at Tuggeranong, of course. Both games tip off 7:30, so get along and support both the sides. It's going to be a great week of basketball. The AIS wanting to show that fourth place by the under-19 side is just what they were really good at. And it'd be interesting to watch Jacob Holmes' form. Certainly he was a star over there for them. And the Gunners will be disappointed by what happened last weekend. Two losses on the road. They'll be wanting to restore their pride. They dropped from number 1 to number 8 in the rankings. I'll catch you again next week on Showtime. From then. Get out there and watch some basketball tonight, tomorrow night. Catch you then. Thank you.
Thank you.